Okay, we're going to start from Daf Nun Hey Hamdeis, the last line at the bottom. The Gemara says a statement that Yerek Malya, that Yerek is a good thing for a Talmud Chacham, a Talmud scholar to consume. Lathanya, we learn the following Braisa. Shloish Marvin Hazevel, three things increase the person's waste. And the kaif is a kaima, and it causes a person who's tall to be bent over. And it removes one from a 500 from the sight of a person. The elu hain, and what are these three things? Pas kibor, which is coarse bread. The sheikha chadash, new beer. The yerek, and a vegetable. Enough. We started page Nun Vav at the top. So we see, on one hand, Yerek is a good thing. Another thing, we see Yerek is not a good thing. So how do we answer the contradiction? Lo kasha. Mar says, this is no question. Ha betumi v'kreisi, ha b'shar yarki. When is it a good thing? When it's comparable to tumi, which I think is garlic v'karsi, which is a week. Habashar yarki or other type of green vegetables. Look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, what's tumi karsi? So Rashi has the other way. Lo malu kach shamati. Rashi first says they're not good things. However, Rashi himself says, near be'enai, it appears in my eyes, tumi v'karsi mali. That tumi, which I think is garlic and karsi, leeks are a good thing. Vachitanya as Marson Vavakama. Hamisha devarim nemar b'shum. Five things are said by garlic. Mashbia, it satiates. Mashchin, it smooths. Matzahu hapanim, it makes the face smooth. Marbas azera, it increases the seed. Vahore kina, and it kills lice. Shemayim, of internals. And Krishanami, time arachos, it does the same things. The yathim, the ayin, that is good for the intestines. So we see that it is a good thing. And Rashi says, Shum Yerek, Ani Shemat Liganai. I've heard that it's not for good, but Ani Oyim Elisha, that it's for good. So the reality is, it could be either way. If it is like we're saying, Shum Garlic is a good thing, and as we know, especially today, in herbal medicines and so on, one of the most efficient antioxidants and so on is garlic. But again, like everything, it has to be used in its proper amount, either too much or too little, in order to gain its proper usage. And the Gemara said over here also, probably is, in this, maybe we can answer for Rashi. Rashi says, he heard one hand is a good thing, and another hand it's not a good thing. So maybe he's saying, if you eat a lot of it, it's not a good thing. But if done in proper quantity, it is a good thing. And then it's really not a contradiction in the explanation. The Gemara continues, and how do we see? Habashar Yarek is other vegetables. Yarek generally means green, so he probably thinks in terms of green leafy vegetable. Kisana, like we said in the following braisa, shum yerek creation, chati yerek is half the vegetable, near its sanon, it appears like a radish, near kisem chayim, it appears like a healthy potion, batanya, we learn the other one, near its sanon, it appears like a radish, near kisem hamavis, it's classified as a harmful potion. This literally would mean a potion of death. So we see that the Sultan had a contradiction if it's healthy or not. So Mara says, look, kasher, this is not a question. Kanva alin, kanvi mahus. When is it not a good thing? Is in the leaves. When is it a healthy thing? Vi mahus. Is in the let's say, looks like, for example, like an onion, that type of thing, where the root itself is the main part of the fruit is, or the vegetable is a good thing. Or the Mara says, kanyos hachama, kanyos hachaman. When is it a good thing? In the summertime. When is it not a good thing? In the rainy season or the wintertime. Because again, we're dealing with the land of Israel, and we say that the rainy season is defined as the winter. So Rashi says, what is Alan? So Rashi explains, Imahos Yafin, and Rashi, the mother, Ima means mother, Yafin as well. What does it mean? Imahos Ashrashim, the roots. Yimos Achama, in the summertime, Yafin. It is good. Why, he explains. Shemisanet haguf, because it cools off the body. So in the summer, when a person's hot, so you want the body to cool down, so this vegetable cools down the body. Because geshamim, when in the rainy season, in the winter, kashin is hard, because you're already cold. You don't want the body to cool down any further. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Kol ish yesh ba malus umardus Adam ubehema shaba mesim chai tiyamehen. Rashi says, the Gemara says, any city which has in it malus or three steps that go up and down, a person and animals in those cities die in half their days. As to the Gemara, mesim sacha die today, die? Can't be. Ela means aim will say, miskinim v'chatzim yameihim. They become old in half their days. Because a simple explanation would be, as Rashi says, what's a mazkinim? Mehatareach, because of the bother. They have to walk up and downstairs. It's much, if a person's on a flat surface, it's very easy to walk. But one has to go up and down, it creates a much greater strain. Therefore, it can cause wear and tear on a person. And that's what the Gemara says. Am Rav Huna, v'reid Rav Yeshia. He said the following: Hani Mulisa de Beibari Beirashi Azonik, from the steps of Beibari and Beirash, he became old. And that means not literally that it hastened his demise, not demise, his that he got old quicker. So you see, Chazal did know in their chachma of, we see from the first of all, garlic talks to. Could be the health benefits of it, and also on the other hand, too much exertion in something can cause an individual's life to necessarily. He may live longer, but it will show in him as that he that age and the wear. As we know, worry and stuff like that on a person does shorten his life, not span, but his health and so on. But again, exercise and proper moderation is a good thing. So that could be maybe that over the same thing, since you live in a city which is full of hills and so on, therefore all the time to strain yourself to go from point A to point B, it's not a good thing. But as maybe like a person has a half an hour a day of strenuous exercise, that's very good. It's very good for the heart of a person, and helps him maintain his health, and it also helps him in diet and so on. It helps him break down the food and so on. Now the Gemara continues. Tani Rabbanan. The Mishnah got upon before saying how when making a city, right, we were able to extend the boundaries to 2,000 amas, and we'll have a whole discussion how we figure out exactly where do you start 2,000 amas from. So in that vein, the Gemara continues. Ba l'rava, when you're coming to make it a square. Marva'a b'divruva olam, you come to make the square. And the normal four directions of the world. Nois and Sfon el Tzafon Olam, you place the north, the northern part of the world. Uderoma in the south, Lidera Olam, to the south of the world. The Simanach, and the sign for this, as we said before, the Gemara and Daf and Dalam and Bey said very much in encouraging us to, in order to aids memory, when we can attach like a famous thing. To remember something, it makes it easier to remember. So it says, Agala b'tzafon, there's a calf in the north, v'akrab b'darom, in the constellations. I'm not sure which one's a calf, but akrab is the, translate scorpion would be Scorpio. And now, that's smart, says how, when doing directions, you don't make it diagonally, you try to draw the city according to the directions of the way of it appears on a map. And if Yossi Aymer, Yossi adds on, say, im eino yodei l'rava Yerushalom. Let's say you don't know how to square off the city. So what do it? Mirava'a kamin hatakufa. You square it off like the seasons. So, and Mar tells us, Ketzet, how do we do that? Chama yaitza b'yom aruch, yishokas b'yom aruch. The sun goes on on a summer day, which we'll see that it's called the summer solstice. It goes and it seems from here it'll go in one direction, which one will define. And this is the whom Pnei Tzafon. This is the northern side. Yotzer b'yom katzer, It rises on a short day and sets on the same day. This is Zehu Pnei HaDarom. Pnei Darom. This is the south. Tekufas Nisan. The Tekufas Tishrei. The Tekufas Nisan is the, what's it called? Is the equinox, the vernal equinox. And who's a Tishrei is the autumnal equinox. And that's when the day is 50, you know, is 12 hours a day. So he says, Chama Yotze v'chati Mizrach. The sun rises in half of the east, v'shokat v'chati Marav, and sets in the west, in half of the west. Shenamar, and that's what we'll see the following verse from Kohelet. Shenamar, as it says, Ha'ilech el Darom, you go to the south, the Saiveh, and it travels El Hasamaphon to the north. He possibly explains, the mark says, Ha'ilech el Darom Bayom, it travels, and when it rises in the, to the south in the daytime, the Saiveh el Tzafon Balaila, and it goes to the north, revolves to the north at night. Soviv, Soviv, Hole Haruach, around it goes the directions. Eliz are playing Mizrach or playing Maruv. It goes to the face of the east and it goes to the face of the west. Pami Mahalchal, sometimes it will just go there. Well, Pami Savasam, sometimes it will make it go in a circularis route. So basically, what the Gemara is trying to say is, my understanding is that if you have, there's a the, for example, we know the when the sun comes, let's say in the extreme north, December 21st, which is the usually accepted as the winter solstice. So if you would have a, you know, the sun will go on a certain path. It'll rise the way the Mara is saying that it will rise, and then even though we know the sun sets in the east and the west, but the path that the sun travels when the shadow. It'll be supposedly on the northern. That so what you do is you would mark it off. The north is then, and that would be the northern part of the city. We know in the summer that the same thing, even the path of the sun, I guess the rays that it would hit the earth, is that it will hit from or across the horizon, it will travel in a southern direction from west to east. So you'll have the north. So what you have is the northeast and the northwest in the summer solstice, and in the summer solstice you'll have this. You will have the in the summer you'll have the northernmost point. In the winter, you'll have the southernmost point, and that will tell you the directions. And somehow, when the way it hits in April, or in fall, in the month of September, it'll be west and east. And through that, if a person doesn't have a compass or whatever, doesn't know where the Polaris and Northern Star is, so he could technically figure out the direction of what the city is supposed to be. Seems to be simple, but then we see Mara is going to spring someone who argues with it. Amar Rav Misharsha. Rav Misharsha says, "Lasnu lahani klali. I don't hold to these principle. And why is that? The sign is it says in the Braisa, Lo yatsa chama me olam mi karen mizrachis sfonis the shoka be karen marvis sfonis. Not like you want to say we never saw the." Forever, the sun ever traveled, in the summer solstice. They said it'll go an extreme north at that time. It really never happened, he said. It traveled partially. So you never find it went from Mekaron, the corner of northeast, and sat in the corner of northwest. Well, Yatza Chama, and the sun didn't go out. Mekaron Mizrachis Deromis, that rose in the southeastern corner. The Shokaas Bekaramaravis, the Romans, and that it would set in the southwest corner. So how does one, one seems the original Amora, he had a Pasuk that proved that the way he learned Pshat and Pasuk is that it, in fact, the sun did have from these extremes you could figure out your direction. On the other hand, this one disagrees. So how can one answer up this dispute. So I think within the words itself he's saying, I guess it depends on the location that you're at. Therefore, if depending on the location where you're at, that will determine if you can actually determine if this is the real north and that's the real south. And that's what he's saying. The Pesukim could be talking where it maybe it's talking Eretz Yisrael because it's talking Shlomo Melech and Koheles. So it's all, it could be that in Yerushalayim, for example, you could be able to track the direction from the way the sun sets on the longest day of the year and sets and rises and sets on the shortest day of the year. But in other parts of the world, it's not so exact. Therefore, you could not prove it, and therefore, that's why they don't necessarily argue. Now the war continues. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel, we're going to learn more about the Jewish calendar and the seasons. Ein tekufas Nisan nofelas ela v'aba revai hayayim. When we talk about the spring season, it only happens when the four possible quarters of the day. And we're going to see that it's not just coincidental when spring starts. We're going to see not just the spring, but the summer, the winter, and the fall. And this Gemara is going to prove that there are specific times in the day, during the year, hours actually when it's possible that the summer, spring begins, the fall begins, the summer begins, and the winter begins. And we are not going to define it for you. That the spring can only fall out four possible days. It goes Obetchilat Hayayim, Obetchilat Halayla, at the beginning of the day or the beginning of the night. Obachati Hayayim, Obachati Halayla, in the middle of the day or the middle of the night. And it's all going to depend. It's all going to depend on one another. They're not independent. We're going to see each season is exactly the same amount of time. So basically, we're going to see it's about 13 weeks. Well, tomorrow we'll say exactly. Like 13 weeks, 7 days, and a few hours, 6 hours, something like that. And that's how we. And it continues. The Ein Tekufas Tammuz, and the, as he would say, from some fancy, the summer solstice, no phallus, also cannot fall out. Ela, oi, ba'achas umechsa, at 1.5, o b'sheva mechsa, or 7.5, meaning 7, you only have 1:30 or 7:30, vein ba'yom, vein ba'layla, or the day at night. The Ein Tekufas Tifrei, no phallus, and the season of Tishrei, which we term, this is a vernal equinox, it can either happen b'shalosh shavuos at 3 o'clock, b'teisha shavuos or at 9 o'clock, bein b'yom bein b'layla, where the daytime or the night time, depending on the year and so on. And we continue the Ein Tekufas Tevis Nofelos and the winter solstice, el it falls out b'arba mechsa at 4:30, b'esra mechsa or at 10:30. Bein b'yom, bein b'layla, whether day or night. Now the Gemara continues. Bein, bein tigfa l'tekufa, and the difference, how long is each cycle or each, you know, each season? El, it's all together. I was wrong. It's not 13. I was totally wrong. El tishin v'echad yom. It's 91 days. V'sheva shais umechsan, 7 hours and a half. Bein. To Kufas Moshe Mechavrita Elachati Shah. And the season draws from its friend only a half an hour. So we're seeing that's why we can figure exactly the time. We know when, as long as you know when the spring, let's say, example, you know when the vernal equinox is going to fall out, then you know for the next year what time, you can now predict exactly when the, You have the vernal equinox, and then you can do summer solstice, then you can figure out the autumn equinox, and you can figure out the winter solstice, because you know the fact that it's always going to be a time period of 91 days, 7 hours and 30 minutes, and therefore that's also like the season. Also, I mean, this is actually the kufa of Shmuel, but the reality is we possibly like kufas of Rav. Which Rav had, I don't know the exact cheshbon, but there's like a 5 or 10 minute difference when how long he figures out the seasons And the Nafka Mina will be, I think, the article said 315, one day per 315 years. That's why, since Rav is a more exact counting, like the 10 minutes, whatever it is, or 5 minutes, therefore that's how we paskin like some things like Rav and some things paskin like Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, and Shmuel answered, Ein lecha tekufas nishan, shenofels betzadek. Again, we're talking about when it happens that the vernal equinox. We also know that there are seven of the different different constellations. That so, if it falls out in the constellation of Tzedek, which is, I think, Jupiter, if that's when it falls out, she'enu mishaber ha'ilanos. In such a season, you can be sure that somehow, when it happens like that, then I guess at one point there'll be a storm which the trees break. The ein lecha tekufas tevish nefels b'tzedek, and it doesn't happen when the winter solstice falls out again in Jupiter, whatever that she'enu, when that's at that time of day when that constellation is ruling over the sky, she'enu miyavet hazrayim. When also the crops don't become dried out. It also has to be v'hu yisyaled levana. It has to be born the moon oba levna oba tzedek, either in the ruling of levana, the moon, oba tzedek, or Jupiter. As Rashi says, which honeymoon did yisyaled? Look at Rashi, the last Rashi on the page. What's honeymoon did yisyaled? It means mola levana shal nisan, when it's born, the new month of the word nisan. Oshal Teves, or the month of Teves, B'shas Levana, has to be an hour of with the moon, or B'shas Tzedek of Jupiter.
Solstices are based on a solar calendar, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, we call these things Kufa of Hebrew months, but they're not necessarily going to fall out.
That's right. But we know every 28 years, which Nafkin also is, that every 20 years we know that the calendars, every 19 years, the calendars do whatever variations there are between the lunar and the solar. Every 19 years it gets corrected. That's because some years are leap years, some years are not leap years. So like a normal Jewish year is 354 days or 355 days, while the solar year is 365 days, or 365 and a quarter. So how do you, the discrepancy is that the leap years are based, the Jewish, when we add an extra month, is based on to fill out these discrepancies. Basically, it works every. If you want to, the 19-year cycle is the third year, and the 19-year cycle is the third year of a Jewish year. The sixth year will be a leap year. The eighth year, the 11th year, the 14th, 17th, and 19th. That's how they figure out when to add a leap year. That's the way the calendar was set up. If you want to figure out, it's like this: because you know there's a discrepancy of 10 days between the lunar and solar. So the first year, let's say Rosh Hashanah fell September 10th. The next year it'll fall out September 1st. And then the third year, so there's a ten day discrepancy between year one and year two. Then year two to year three will be another 10 day discrepancy. It's 20 days. The lunar is going to be behind the solar. So that's why the third year, when there'll be a 30 day discrepancy, another 10 days will be added on. That's when we make the Jewish leap year. That's why the Cheshbon 3, 6, and but sometimes it's not exact. So it's only after 2 years will we make it a leap year. And altogether, every 19 years it does work out. Any other questions? Okay. And we also see from another reason, like a lot of times that we see from these Gemaras that Chazal had a tremendous, not only did they, you know, we talk about they knew health, they knew about the natural herbs and stuff like that. They also knew the chachmas of the constellations. That they didn't have microscopes, they didn't have telescopes in those days. Right. So how did Chazal know this? They didn't have rocket ships in those days. The answer is that the Torah is the blueprint of the whole creation, and whatever Hashem told Moshe on Har Sinai was given to that same knowledge. Chazal also had the access to it. And therefore, that even without all the scientific data necessarily figured out. They knew the calculations. They found what Chazal knew. At one point, it seemed it was the Greeks disagreed. Eventually, whatever contradictions were answered because when other facts were known. And the reason for that is not that they were such scientists, but they, in the totality of knowledge of Torah, it also includes the totality of knowledge of science and everything else. Okay. Tanya, and even today we have people like that today. The famous story of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish lived in Eretz Yisrael in Bnei Brak. He died in 1953, I think, or 56. So a famous story is told that there was an individual that had a brain tumor. And the surgeon was not sure where to perform the operation. So this person went to Chazon Ish and he said, "This is my problem, this is where I'm feeling the pain. Do you think you could be able to diagnose exactly what operation, the incision, to cut him and to remove the tumor?" And Chazon Ish thought, and he took the. And after a few minutes, he actually drew a diagram where the surgeon should cut the surgery. And Kachavi, the story was that the Chazon Ish performed the operation, removed the tumor. And the doctor said, "How did you know that, Rabbi?" And he said, "You're not a doctor." Basically, Chazon Ish sort of said, because Chazon Ish was an individual one of the unquestioned leaders, from his working so hard and through his learning of Torah and so on, he was able to perceive the other wisdoms also. Therefore, he knew even the brain, how it worked and so on. He was able to figure out way the person described the situation, where the tumor could be grown, and therefore he was able to tell the doctor cut here, and the person lived. That's one of the famous, but it's an example of not every sage has this ability, but there are certain sages who have this. I don't know if today anybody has that ability. But 50 years ago, there were such people. Tani Rabbanun, the rabbis learned. Hamarbei es ha'ir. If you're going to, again, we're talking about how you square off a city. Oisin oisa osa kemin tabla mervas. You make it like you square a map. If you look actually, I think, at this Gemara over here, if you look at Rashi is a picture. Look with the Rashi, but you see Rashi, you'll see the Gemara will tell you we're talking about a circled city, and you're now going to conscribe the circle with a square around it. And through that, you're going to figure out that, and this is how you elongate the city, that gives you more maximum length to the. Give you a longer border where you can walk on Shabbos. So we continue again. Tanu Rabban Hamar Besayir, Oisa Osa Kemin Tala Revas. You make it like a squared map. V'chayzer and go Umar Beis Hatuchumen, and you square off the boundary. V'Oisa Osa Kemin Tala Revas, and you make it like a squared map. Ukisha Hu Modeid. And when you measure, lo yimdo me'etzma hakeren alpaim ama, you do not start the city with the, because again we're dealing with a circle, and you're going to make the radius of the circle. You don't just draw, where you think the city center is and draw the radius through it. You don't do it that way. You know why? Mipineshu masa is obvious. You're going to end up losing the corners. Ella mevi tavla mervas shehi alafim ama alafim ama. You're going to take a squared map, which is also 2,000 amas or 2,000 amas. Umeinicha bekeren v'alchsona. You'll leave it on the corner at a diagonal. And what Nima says, we'll find through there, ha'ir mishtekeres benefits arba amas mekan. The arbam is lakan. We'll get 400 amas on one side and 400 amas on the other side. Then imsen we find through this techumen mishtakrin shemona meos amas lakan shemona meos lakan. That the east side of the city is going to gain an extra 800 amas. And nimsu will find Ha'ir the self v'tuchumen mishtakrim. How much elef umasayin lakan? The elef umasayin lakan. the whole city is going to gain a whole new thing of 1,200 amas altogether. The benefit, for, instead of leaving it as a radius and of a circle, but to make it a square. Again, because in what is that in any city? What kind of city are we talking about? So Amar Abaye, Abaye answers, Umishkachas La, and you find it, the Masya in a city, Dahavi, that is Trey Alfi, Trey Alfi. It's 2,000 amas for 2,000 amas. Now, basically, if you personally understands math, we know that a square is. We know that we know the hypotenuse, right? We back to the Pythagorean theorem. We know the hypotenuse is 1.4 a squared plus b squared equals c squared, right? So we know that the hypotenuse is equal to 1.4 of a regular square. If you have a regular square, and then you would put a diagonal through the whole square. The side, let's see, are 1 and 1, the hypotenuse is going to be 1.4. So that's over here. If you have a circle city where the radius is going to be 2,000 amas, and then you're going to put a diagonal around it, so you if it's two, if the sides, if the one radius is going to be 2,000, if you're going to elongate using a diagonal, it's going to go from 2,000 to 2,800, and that's how when the Mara says you gain the benefit of you're going to, right, you're going to gain an extra 800. That's how the Mara comes, the extra 800 amas on each side. There's it's one, right, 1,000 will be 1,400, and it's 2,000 will be 2,800. Okay, we're going to stop here today.